Social impact everywhere.
Welcome back, my fellow social impactors, to another episode of the Social Impactors Podcast. And today we have another special guest with us. We have Chantel Coward, who is a mental health clinician and owner and operator of Chantel Coward & Associates, a multidisciplinary private practice. And Chantel, I first want to start off with saying thank you so much for being on the podcast with me today.
Thank you so much for having me today, Avery.
So let's jump right into the questions. And the first question I have for you is really just a little bit about who you are, what you do, and why you believe you're a social impactor.
Okay, so I hold a doctorate degree in clinical psychology with an emphasis in health. I am a mental health clinician. I've been residing in Midland for approximately 12 years now. But when I first moved to this community in 2006, I was working as a psychologist at the Mental Health Center Penetanguishene. I always knew that I wanted to go into private practice. Unfortunately, that ended up happening sooner than expected. So in 2008, I left the Mental Health Center Penetanguishene, and I was a sole practitioner, and I was providing treatment to many, many members of our community in the surrounding area. There was such a need for support that I brought on my first associate, and that was in 2010. And so we've just continued to grow and grow and grow. So now 2019, we're sitting at a team of approximately 15. So I own and operate a multidisciplinary private practice, as you mentioned, in Midland. And in the practice, we treat both mental and physical health issues. The team consists of licensed psychotherapists, psychologists, social workers, psychiatrists. We have a dietitian on board, an art and play therapist. We have a trauma incident reduction facilitator. So we, you know, we're really able to treat our clients and or our patients in their entirety.
So you've been doing this for a while now. And
yeah.
One of the questions I have is what's a common theme that you've mm-hmm. noticed in this space of mental health? And especially because, you know, Midland is quite close to where I live as well. And this is a, mm-hmm. you know, a local challenge. What's one of the most common themes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I've been in the field for 2 decades, but been in this community practicing for, you know, well over a decade. You know, in a small community, you're really forced to be a generalist. You know, you really have to take care of everyone's general emotional health. So this is why having a multidisciplinary team. So for example, if someone is really, really struggling, or let's just say medications required, we can have the client and or patient seen by psychiatry or one of the other specialties under our roof. But really, we deal with the full continuum. We deal with people who are really, really healthy, who come here, who want to make change. They want to make improvement. Maybe they just, you know, don't like something about themselves, or they don't like the way that they're approaching others. We deal with depression, anxiety, bipolar disorder. Then, of course, the far end of the continuum, we do deal with people with schizophrenia, schizoaffective disorder, and so forth. I guess probably biggest theme though would be stress, just daily life stressors. The sheer fact that life's not linear, that it's full of ups and downs. And, you know, so when life is good, we're all really good at, you know, riding that wave. But when life is bad, we really aren't great at dealing with the inevitable bad times in life. So, but again, I think just the demands to succeed today, and especially with success being defined by, it seems, by financial accomplishment often, people are just worn, weathered, you know, stripped quite thin, struggling with burnout. So I think just daily life stressors and it eroding people is probably the paramount issue that we're seeing.
Yeah, no, it's true. One of the biggest challenges that I've seen is just, you know, this, you're right, this idea that financial gain or financial success is what we all strive to do, but holistic success isn't really looked at in the picture. And it's only when we have those downtimes do we realize, wow, you know, I really need a break, or wow, I really need to focus on family, or I need to focus on, you know, my own personal health. But
the big piece is just high achievement and busyness. It's being worn as a badge of honor, and that's incredibly problematic.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, no, and I love that you're trying to flip that script, and you're there as a support for people to go through that process. That's a necessary thing, especially in the modern day world.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So with the second question, because I think this is a great transition.
Sure.
How are you, and this could be, you know, you as Chantel, or you as, you know, owner and operator of Chantel Coward & Associates, how are you making a positive impact in your community?
Well, I just think, you know, moving here in 2006, leaving the mental health center and opening up in practice in 2008, and growing, you know, growing this multidisciplinary team, I realized very early on that our community was underserviced. And I also was at risk for burnout because I had at one point single-handedly tried to help everyone who'd been referred to my practice. And also at that time, I was trying to establish myself in academia as a professor of psychology at the University Partnership Center in Barrie, mm-hmm. Lakehead University in Orillia. I just knew, though, in order to help those in need and to save everything that I'd really worked hard for, I had to expand. So this is where I sit today. I work along, I guess it's a privilege, of course it's a privilege to be helping other people, but then the other beauty in what I'm doing is I get to work alongside and provide employment opportunities for all these skilled clinicians in our community as well. I was thinking about, you know, our social impact statement, our mission statement, and I think it's quite simple in its complexity. I think we're here to help others, and I believe everyone we treat would attest to this. I laugh often because I tell people I'm not an entrepreneur. I'm not quite sure how I'm doing this. because the big piece for me is that the bottom line, it doesn't define me at all. I'm really, my whole team is in the business of helping other people. I certainly have a very strong work ethic like my father, and I'm not afraid to work hard, and I'm not afraid to immerse myself in my line of work. But again, I'm in the business of helping others. So for example, my entire team supports the idea of, considering we are a private practice, which means most of our services have to be paid for out of pocket if an individual doesn't, you know, have access to an employee assistance program or other means. But we are absolutely more than willing to implement a sliding fee scale to help with affordability, or to even do, you know, provide some services pro bono if necessary. So, you know, I'm just part of this. I have a team in this community that's doing exceptional work. And really my team and growing, that has really helped me rejuvenate.
Mm, yeah, it's always funny how when you have a team behind you and when you're living out that impact statement, right? That social impact statement of, you know, the bottom line isn't the only important thing. I'm here to serve people. It's funny how quickly you find those groups of people, but absolutely. Also how quickly you rejuvenate.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So what's really nice now is instead of trying to take it all on, because not wanting anyone to suffer, mm-hmm. But now I can, you know, if my caseload is too heavy, I'm able to, my caseload is now manageable, fortunately, but when the referrals are coming in from family doctors and other sources, I can, you know, just appropriately direct them and confidently, not just appropriately, but also confidently direct them into the care of another clinician. So it's an incredible feeling.
That's amazing. And I love that you said social impact statement. And I find that when you have an impact statement that really is quite easy to understand, you know, we like to complicate things in the modern day. We like to make things, you know, these incredible statements. But when you boil it down, if you can say it in simple words, you're really living that out, right? You said, yeah. you know, yes, I am a, you know, mental health clinician, but at the end of the day, I'm here to help people.
Absolutely. It really is who I am. And so it just seems that, unsurprisingly, I then gravitate to work with those who are the same.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I do the exact same thing.
Yeah. No, my team makes me proud seriously daily. They're doing amazing work.
That's amazing. So we talked about, you know, the community side and we talked about who you are, but I want to understand the business a little bit more. And the question I have for you now is, do you believe social impact as a theme or as a process is an important part of business?
Absolutely. Let's be frank. I help those in need. You know, I help those in need, and that's everyone. That's you and I, you know, all of us many times throughout our lives are going to need support, are going to need help. I help those in need, and it's absolutely necessary. My business does not add any negative factors to those in need at all. My staff, my team, we all adhere to this concept. I believe if all businesses operated with social justice at the forefront, you know, as opposed to money, our interactions with one another would just be far more harmonious. I mean, can you imagine that if entrepreneurs were operating from a place of safety and empathy? I just think there'd be major positive side effects rather than any real negative fallout.
Well, and what's funny too is you find these companies that make these incredible profits, but when they're social impact driven, or even if they have an impact statement embedded into their practices, they actually just do just as well as businesses that are sole profit businesses. And actually, they've shown statistics and data that now that they do better, right? They're more attractive to a customer. They're more attractive to investors. They invest in renewable energies, which is low risk. It's a risk aversion tactic. Like, all of these things boil down to the fact that it's a holistic business, right? Yes. You're less susceptible to change, you're better for the community. It's just a better way of business.
absolutely.
Yeah, it blows my mind.
Yeah, it just creates that positive ripple effect, you know. And I take pride in that, not being from this community and sort of being where I'm at today. It really has been doing good work. Just right back to the basics, right back down to, you know, our sort of mission statement. We're here to help others. We help others, and they walk away from here feeling, you know, just so thankful for the help that we've given them. And so that largely has been a huge part of my success today.
Mm-hmm. And that's that element of human-centered design, right? Humans have to be at the center of what you do.
Yes, absolutely.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. So we're flying through these questions, and I love it. And I think it's because you're living that purpose. You're living that purpose of really being a social impactor in your community. But the last question I have then is really on your advice. And the question would be then, what is your advice for others to begin making their own social impact in their communities?
I think you have to be good at what you do. And when I say that, I mean, you have to authentically, genuinely be passionate about what you do, but be good at what you do. I think it's incredibly important that, you know, you don't make the bottom line your defining goal. That should not be your defining goal at all. I think everybody needs to rethink the way that they define success. I think making your workplace a safe and nurturing environment is incredibly key. Other advice would be helping everyone. Absolutely helping everyone. We don't throw anyone at all to the wolves. We don't allow anyone to suffer in silence. If they call us and they've taken that first step, we're going to, you know, absolutely commit to getting them going in the right direction. So yeah, just being really authentic, genuine, relatable, being good at what you do. Again, not making the bottom line your defining goal. Those would be some words of advice that I have for those starting out.
I want to ask a little bit of a follow-up then. And the question I have is, how do you do that? How do you make money not your bottom, or how do you make the bottom line not your priority? How do you make money not your priority? How do you make sure that you can, you know, help people holistically? How do you do that? What's that action look like?
Well, I guess part of this is, again, it's who I am. You know, it's tricky when you're helping people and then in turn you're asking for payment.
Always, you know, always.
Right. So sometimes, you know, I know people have articulated, especially in the beginning when they're a little bit skeptical about receiving treatment, you know, well, of course, you know, you're going to say that or do that because I'm paying you to, kind of thing. Mm. But that's not at all. Like, I mean, my husband has, he jokes all the time about being my manager, and he is focused on making sure that, you know, I'm being somewhat mindful of my bottom line, but he has to constantly sort of be at me to be, I'm in the business of helping people. And I think it's innate. Mm-hmm. But I do believe that even if it's not innate within someone, if you approach work in this way, you know, being authentic, genuine, relatable, passionate about what you do, I think the rest should sort of naturally unfold, you know, that you should end up doing relatively well or being, you know, maybe even quite successful in your area of practice or your profession.
Hmm. I like that. It's really just that part of starting, right? You need to start that priority on holistically looking at things, and then the rest of it comes along the way, right? The rest of it's a part of the process.
Absolutely. And I think it's all about too. One of the things I did when I first moved to the community, because I wasn't from here, I did a lot of free psychoeducational presentations, empowering people within our community with knowledge about the, you know, varying psychological conditions. And that really allowed people to, for me to kind of get a better sense of the community, but also for the community to get a better sense of me as well. And so, you know, I think, you know, just showing people, just showing people that you're competent and capable and they'll be safe, you know, with your services, whatever service it is that you're providing them with.
That's that psychological safety piece. And you also did a two-way conversation, right? It's not just you doing one thing. It's the community gets to have that conversation, that input as well.
Absolutely.
That's amazing. Well, Chantel, I just wanted to, you know, end the podcast or end our session together by saying that you really are doing incredible work in your community. You're showing what it is to be a social impactor in a local community. And I wish you continued success. And I wanted to thank you today for just being here with me and keeping the conversation going about social impact.
Thank you for having me, Avery. And I wish you continued success also.